Hi, everyone. I really appreciate you tuning in to Ugly Brown Boy. That would be me. This is a weekly podcast with a new episode every Tuesday on all podcast platforms, as well as YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. Why Ugly Brown Boy? It's because of how this world and how people have often made me feel. It's how I make myself feel. These are my struggles, and these are my stories from the way I see them. Are you ready? Hey, everyone. Thank you for joining me on the third episode of Ugly Brown Boy. I want to talk to you guys today about the origin of this name, because whenever I tell people the title of this podcast, it really confounds people and they don't understand where I'm coming from. So I just want to provide an explanation, because it is part of who I am and it is the reason why I named the podcast this. And I hold it close to my heart, because the ugly brown boy was, and sometimes is, me. And the reason I named the podcast Ugly Brown Boy is because I came to this country when I was 4 years old, and I looked different from everyone. So when my parents immigrated, I immigrated. And not only was I an immigrant, which no one would necessarily know just by looking at me, but because I wasn't white or black or Hispanic, I was out of place. A lot of times people couldn't figure me out, and that's okay. But back then, people, rather than being curious about where I'm from and why I look the way I look, they just made fun of me. And when we moved to the suburbs of New York City, that was when I think the real feelings of ugliness started, because it was the suburbs. So there weren't many people or families that looked like us back then, where we moved to north of New York City. In New York City, it was fine. It's the melting pot. So there were a bunch of people that looked like me, and it wasn't as big an issue. But in upstate New York, if you want to call it that, it's only 30 minutes outside of the city. They were predominantly white, and I don't know, maybe two or three families that looked like us. But for me, it was painful. Kids can be so mean. I say that today. I said it before. And when they are out of the supervision of adults, they tend to take advantage of that situation and they bully other kids. And I was one of those kids that was bullied. So when I arrived in middle school outside of New York, I got to class and none of the white kids could figure me out. It's easier to tell when you're black, and believe me, they have their own set of issues that we are still today trying to combat. But as far as my story goes, even Black and Hispanic kids would make fun of me. And they do that thing with their eyes and their index fingers to mock me and change their eyes to look more slanted. And it was painful. It wasn't until I got a little older that kids or people in general started defining and calling me by the correct nationality. When I was a kid, everybody was Chinese or Japanese. There was nothing else. And even that was painful because there are so many other Asian and Southeast Asian and Pacific Islander nationalities that no one kept track of back in the day. So I was kind of left out, and I was kind of clumped with what they knew about Asia, which was China and Japan. I'm surprised they even knew that. But that even was painful for me. And it was painful because it wasn't me. And I grew up questioning who I was and questioning my value as a person because I wasn't what was normal or recognized. And I felt alienated. I was alienated. I felt like an outcast because I was an outcast. And so these feelings of unattractiveness started to develop. And because of my skin color, and because of my eye shape, and because of my nose, I was picked on. And I was ridiculed for it. Today, I think my nose is beautiful. No modifications. But back when I was a kid, they made fun of my flat nose. So that's where Ugly Brown Boy came from. Because I really thought I was ugly. I thought that being white was the thing to be, because when you're white, this was my thinking as a kid, you get all the benefits, you don't get made fun of as much. You know, if you're larger and white, yeah, you get made fun of. And a bunch of other situations you can get made fun of, but still, there was something about being white that I dreamt of and aspired to. And do I feel shame about that now? Yes and no. Like, to say it out loud sounds kind of embarrassing and cringy, but on the flip side, when you're so different and you're not accepted for who you are, then what is the point in being around all these people? Like, if I grew up in the Philippines, then I'd be around all these kids that looked like me, right? But here in the States, I was the only one in the classroom that looked like me at the time. And it was painful. Middle school and high school were painful. And then, as I developed my personal style, back then I was kind of flip-flopping between punk rock and preppy. So imagine like the popped collar, and imagine also my Doc Martens and skinny jeans and my cropped oversized shirts and I don't know, like bright neon colors and safety pins and rips in my shirt, all of that stuff. I never dressed regular. I was always looking for my identity in fashion. So I went with it. And I attribute that also to my aunt in the Philippines. She encouraged it. And I'm grateful for that. But even today, the majority of people that are out there that see me and they see the way I dress, not necessarily in New York, not necessarily in the metropolitan cities, but here in Orlando, in Florida, in, I don't know, places that don't expect you dressing differently from the majority of society, they, again, can't figure you out. So do they appreciate that you're different? No. Their first thing to do, the first thing that they go to, is to make fun of you. And that fucking sucks. So I still dress like this today. I still dress differently from everybody else. I have a different sense of style, and I still get ridiculed. I still get laughed at. And I don't think it's way out of the ordinary. It's just my fashion sense. And it's just not common. That's all. I'm not saying there aren't people that appreciate me, but I think I notice more the people that laugh at me and whisper when I walk by. That's okay, I guess, and it depends on my emotional state at the time. But imagine the fragile mindset of a child and being ridiculed by kids all day. Add to that me coming out of the closet in middle school and as a freshman in high school getting bullied on top of it because I was gay, and they didn't know what to do with that either. So I'd get talked about behind my back regarding that, and I would get bullied when I walked down the hall. I would hear jocks behind me who would laugh at what I was wearing and talk about spitting on me. And that kind of trauma, and I'm talking about trauma as in a repeated experience that you live on a daily basis, a regular basis. I'm not talking about the trauma of spilling wine on the sofa. I'm talking about consistent abuse and bullying. That kind of trauma has led me to label myself as ugly brown boy, because when I was younger, that's how I felt. And I'll be honest with you, there are times when I feel like the ugly brown boy today. And I was with a friend yesterday and I was explaining that to her, and she was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you feel that way. Like, you of all people, you feel like you're ugly." And yes, it's true. Like, I do not feel attractive a lot of the time. I'm that person that will walk into a bar with my friends behind me and I'll be oblivious to everything. I will live in my cocoon of social anxiety and insecurity as I walk through the room, and when we get to the bar, my friends will be like, "Did you see that guy checking you out?" And I'd be like, "There was nobody checking me out." And this is a real feeling of mine. So this is an important story to me because it's something that I still deal with today, and it's something that I kind of want to advocate for on top of everything else. Like, anti-bullying issues and that sort of thing that lead to fragile mental health, I think that is such an important platform to me, because with all of these things that developed as a child, living here, looking different in America, non-white, non-black, non-Hispanic, back in the day, I carry those things with me. Things are different now, and we are statistically a majority now, Asian Americans in the United States, but the trauma that I carry with me is still there, and I deal with those issues every once in a while. But I go through therapy. I've been in therapy for decades now, and I have a fantastic support system, and I have friends that love me and encourage me, and all of those things that I used to feel are for the most part in the rear view mirror. But I want to focus on this podcast on the kids today and people that are still ridiculed today for looking different and being different and sounding different. And I want these stories to be a reminder to everyone that whatever you do that is mean-spirited or has a harmful effect on someone can lead to different, I guess I'll call them disabilities, down the road. And for me, that is my depression diagnosis, and it's my anxiety diagnosis, and it's those things that are kind of reminders of my past and how I am able to mark different periods in my history where my mental health took a different turn because of cruelty. And so I guess I want this podcast really to be a reminder to everyone that your intentions can be destructive or they can build somebody up. And I don't understand why more of us don't look at building everyone up than making fun of people and tearing them down. It's really sad to me. And I can speak about it lucidly now because I, through my support system of therapists and psychiatrists, I am on medication for my depression and anxiety, and I can talk about things like this without the usual feelings of suicidal ideation, for example, that I felt when I was a kid. So I want to leave you with that, I guess, because what you do with your words and your actions can destroy somebody. And through consistent actions like this, you cause trauma on someone else. And I just want everyone out there to hear this and understand that all of this, all of these mental health issues can be avoided if we sit right in our spirits and exude love and light towards people around us. Because you never know. You never know what somebody might need. They could be well-dressed and put together, but they can be feeling anguished. And they won't wear that on the outside. It's all inside, and it's all something that they live with. So I'll close with this. Show kindness. Just show kindness, especially to people that look like they don't fit in. Because you just don't know how fragile their spirits are, and a look from you, words from you, can utterly break their spirit or build them up and give them hope. So do that. Live your life that way. Give people hope and show people kindness. See you next Tuesday.